This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest is Sister Madonna Booter, author of The Grace to Race. Welcome to our program.
Thank you, Diane.
Who was the first person to call you the Iron Nun?
Oh my goodness, they love to play with me in the media. I really have no idea.
But it's been a while.
Yeah, and you know how media circulates these days. So I guess it just caught on.
I can't believe you're 80, but you are.
Oh yes, and then some.
It's unbelievable. Moving on, what was your day job and where were you living when you took your first run?
Well, my last assignment was, as a Good Shepherd sister, was being sent to Spokane in 71. And I'm still unsure of the date, whether it was 77 or 78, that we were having a Jesuit from Spokane give us a workshop on the Oregon coast. And that was in April, actually. And because I remember becoming a fool for Christ's sake on April 1st. That's when I took my first sincere running step. But it was all because of the priest who was advocating the benefits of running.
And what was the challenge he gave you?
Well, this was just an informal discussion the night before the workshop, and everybody was gathered around the table. And he was expounding on the benefits of running, how it helped diabetes, depression, addiction, and on and on. But finally, I said, you know, Father, I've been active all my life, but I can't see getting out there and running for no good reason. And all the running I've ever done was with interaction sports. And he said, well, it harmonizes mind, body, and soul. And that caught me, because I do believe in wholeness and that we're not departmentalized into little sections. We're all one being, and the mind and the body and the soul should work together in balance. And it made sense to me that if this is what it does, I would like to try it. And so that evening, I went out on the side door to run between the two eddies that he said that could be my goal, because I told him I couldn't get out there and run with no real reason. I need a goal. And he said, well, if you run between the two eddies, you'll get wet. I thought, well, so what? So anyway, that's what I did. And he saw me come in the side door, and he said, where have you been? I said, oh, out doing what you suggested. And he said, well, how far did you go? I said, between those two eddies. He said, do you know how far that is? I said, yes, about a half a mile. And he said, well, how often did you stop? I said, I didn't. And he said, well, how long did it take you? I said, well, I've only been out here about 5 minutes. He said, well, you've got to keep going. You really have got to do this several months before you begin feeling the runner's high. Now, what is this? 30 years later? I know what the lows are, believe me. I'm not so sure about the highs, but I suppose it does happen to some people. I just know that it is a release, and it's a wonderful thing to do, especially if you are feeling under stress. And when you do things with your body, it takes the circulation off the emotions onto what you're doing with your body. And it, you know, it really does help to balance you out.
Maybe that's the runner's high.
That could be it.
That could be it. Yeah. What was your first race and why did you do it?
I made a promise to God and I'm going to keep it. So that was that. And I didn't start my first running step until April 1st. So that's almost less than 5 weeks to work up to an 8.2-mile run, of which I knew nothing. I didn't know there was such a thing as a warm-up and a cool-down. All I knew is that I used to be doing yoga exercises to retain flexibility. And I was on the floor doing that maybe about 4.5 weeks into running after I had gotten back from the beach, after running 24 times around the ball field I got so tired of running in circles, and my breathing was changing, and I was sneezing terribly. And I thought, I'm probably roughing up a lot of pollen here, and I'll head for the streets. So with the thin tennis shoes on concrete, I established a route, and that was not good. But I didn't know. And so I was on the floor in the library doing the exercises, and all of a sudden, I just shut down. My knees had gotten so enlarged, I couldn't hardly bend them back. And my calves so tight, I could hardly press them in. But now it was my breathing, that just sheer exhaustion. And I said, Lord, I can't do this. I know I promised, but my body is rebelling. I don't know what to do. And I started to cry. And then I thought, oh my, if the sisters come up and see this, they'll think I've lost it for good. So I headed to my room and let it all come until I quieted down. And so I wrestled loose of the bedstead and put my foot out the side door and went on my tour around the neighborhood and came back. But it was a beautiful, beautiful sunny day at noon, cloudless sky. And toward the back, the camaraderie was just beautiful. And a father and son were running aside each other, and the little boy glanced over to his father and said something to him. And the father looks around me to me. Yep, that's the person. And so the little boy says, "Haven't you passed us before?" And I said, "Most probably," because I had planned to run 2 miles and walk 5 minutes, run 2 miles and walk 5 minutes until I got through this thing, which I did. And it finished right very close to the river. And I thought, I'm going to go down to that river and stand in it up above my knees. And it was cold, but it was the best thing I could have done. But this was all instinctive behavior. I hadn't been taught anything. And except the Lord is still my coach. I have never had a coach for anything. But that's the answer to how I started running.
When I told people that I was going to interview you and told them about your book, the two questions I heard the most were, do you ever wear a nun's habit? And do broken bones and other such ailments ever get in your way?
Well, I'll take the first one first. I no longer wear the habit, but I was holding on to it longer than most of them. We're more traditional as you get Midwest to the East, but since I was assigned to the West, the younger sisters especially had already, this was in the early 70s, actually 71, had started to dress in lay clothes. But eventually, when I started doing these other things athletically, it seemed smart to, what we mostly did was just borrow the donation clothes. Mm-hmm. And to answer your next question,
do broken bones and other such ailments ever get in your way?
Well, surely they do temporarily. Mm-hmm. But it's never brought me to a complete halt. In fact, one arm has been broken or had something go wrong with it at least 6 times. It's a wonder it's still hanging on. And the other one has had its fair share, too. But since I live alone and I can only use one arm for a period of time, it meant I couldn't even get on the bike for transportation or drive my car for transportation because I have a standard shift, a stick shift. Mm-hmm. So that meant and this was in 90-degree weather, to get where I was going, including the jail, I would walk. And that was sometimes 6 miles round trip walking in the hot summer. But I figured the sun would help the healing with the vitamin D.
Well, thank you. My guest is Sister Madonna Booter, author of The Grace to Race, published by Simon & Schuster. This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk.